Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. In other words, the whole need not a physician. And I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide us under soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, we ask that you speak such a word into this atmosphere that it changes everything. A word that will cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. A word that will let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Father, touch every heart so it's open to receive that word. Anoint every ear so that we can hear it. Lord, the most important thing today, in this moment, is that you have your way. Accomplish whatever you want to do. For this is your house, and we are your people. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for the things you have done, for what you're doing right now, and Father, for what you are down the road working out in our lives that we don't even know about. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Before you sit down, come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, church, smile. Show them pearly whites or gold teeth or yellow teeth. Whatever you got, go on, show them. Look at your neighbor and say, he changed my story. Come on, find somebody else and turn to the other side and say, he changed my story. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to preach to you this morning from the title, he changed my story, from the theme, the banquet. It has been said that all month long I have been trying to convince this body of believers that you have been invited to sit at the Lord's table. I'm not talking about communion. I'm talking about an elevation, if you will. I'm not talking about a religious office that gives title without function, but I'm talking about having a position in the Lord where you know without a shadow of a doubt that there's some things that should be in your life, some narratives that should exist have been changed. And the reason they have been changed is because the Lord is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm gonna take my time and preach this thing. In other words, he has the uncanny ability to edit and to remove certain parts of the narrative that should have read a certain way, but once he got done with it, it read totally different. And so my tale should have been a drama, but he turned it around and made it a comedy. Y'all ain't said nothing. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I figured out that it is the joy of the Lord that is my strength. I'm just trying to find a consensus in the room. And when I began to discover in my life that there were some points in my life, some sentences that should have resulted in either question marks or periods, meaning that it was either over or had me confused, God made it an exclamation point to say it is emphatically done. In other words, I should not be where I am today. But because of the goodness of God, I am here. And I know if we started to talk about it real quick, if we took just a little bit of time and approached it in this way, that if you looked at your neighbor and said, if you only knew what God has really done in my life, because I really can't tell you everything. Because if I tell you everything, you probably want to change your seat. But all I can tell you is that I didn't always look like this. I didn't always talk like this. I didn't always dress like this. Oh, y'all trying to play me this morning. I didn't always come to church on Sunday. As a matter of fact, I would probably just be waking up from the hangover that I had, y'all ain't in here with me, that I had on Saturday night. Oh, God, you're looking at your neighbor and you're trying to play the preacher this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't scared of you. He ain't scared of you. And if you sit there and devalue the fact that God has done some awesome things in your life, you're going to play right into the hands of the adversary. And I don't care if it sounds like a cliche, but baby, when you wake up in the morning, you simply got to thank God for what he has done. I understand that's shallow. I get it. And so I'm going to move us from the shallowness of thanking God for past things. Because your praise can betray you to the point where you forget what he has done. Therefore, you will not celebrate what he is doing. And therefore, you will not have any praise to promote the future thing God is about to do in your life. So look at your neighbor and say, excuse me, I'm thankful for what he has done. But baby, I am grateful for what he is doing. But this next praise is for what he is about to do. Because if you believe God is about to do something ridiculous in your life, don't let your praise betray you at this very moment. Come on, somebody, send a praise down the road into their future. For this has been written for the generation to come, for the generation yet to be created. May praise the Lord. There is a praise that can propel you, oh God, down the road. I feel the Lord in here, and I can hear God say, he goes ahead of you and make crooked places. I wish I had somebody straight. You're girding up for the fight, but the Lord is saying at this moment, baby, the battle is over. There's a straight path to your victory. Who am I talking to in here? I ain't got all morning to mess with y'all this morning. If you're fighting for something and you're believing God for something, the Lord just told you there is a straight path to your victory. Oh God, who am I talking to? Oh God, you're going to walk down the straight road. Oh God, no bumps, no humps, no detours. Y'all better sit down. Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss them. Your praise can betray you. Oh, now y'all want to have church. Your praise can betray you to the point where you will stop realizing what the Lord has done. And therefore, you will not celebrate what he is doing. And what you don't celebrate tend to leave your life. If you don't appreciate something, it won't stick around long. Because you will not do any maintenance to take care of it, nor will you appreciate where you are. In the story, we find ourselves in Luke, the 5th chapter. And to give you the proper context, we find ourselves with Jesus calling his 4th disciple. Yeah, that's my church. And so you have to understand that I have taught you biblically, and I know some of you might not get this because you ain't been around that long, but anytime you see 4 in Scripture, something supernatural is being supplied. I could go on and give you example after example, like Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. I ain't got no church this morning. three Hebrew boys who had their names changed to Babylonian names like Daniel did to Belshazzar. These were the cousins of Daniel. And therefore, the Bible says, because they did not want to bow their knee to worship Nebuchadnezzar, that the king said, put them in, of course, the fiery furnace. This was the furnace that was used to make bricks. There were four compartments to that furnace. And the king said, put them in the hottest part. The hottest part would have been the very part before the brick would go to rest before they could be used. And so it was so hot that the Bible says the people that put them in the furnace burned up themselves. But when the three Hebrew boys got in the fire, the king sat back to watch to see what would happen to them. He wanted to watch them burn. But the Bible says when the king looked up, he saw four men in the fire and not just three. And he says, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. I wish I had somebody in here with me. Oh, God, how in the world did this king know what the Son of God looked like? That's a whole nother story. The reason why he had an identifying mark of the Son of God was because Daniel was in his circle testifying about the goodness of God. See, you don't know the power of your testimony and who's listening to it. So that when they try, I wish I had somebody in here, so that when they try to persecute individuals who will not bow their knee to a certain way, the Bible says the Lord jumped right in the fire with them. The beauty of it was is that God did not try to get them out the fire. He just stood in it with them because he realized no weapon formed against them shall be able to prosper. Can I preach to somebody in here? Look at your neighbor and say, no weapon, no weapon, no weapon, no weapon. I just need to find five folk that understand what the preacher's talking about this morning. Ah, God, throw me in the fire. No weapon, no weapon. Because if you do, the Father is going to show up. For he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end. I wish I had somebody. Ah, God, throw me in the hottest part. Put me in the thick of it all. Baby, I'm going to sit there with a peace that you cannot comprehend, because the peace of God transcends all understanding and it guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Can I talk to somebody who's in the middle of that fire right now? Baby, you're in the middle of it, but you don't even smell like smoke because the Lord is right there with you. And when the person that threw you in see that you're in there giving God praise, they're going to say, let them out, let them out, let them out. I got to find out how in the world they got out the fire. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm coming out and I don't even smell like smoke, boo, because my Father is with me. I feel that Isaiah anointing, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rise in judgment against you, you shall condemn. Y'all sit down. We just sit down. We're talking. We're talking. We're talking. We're talking. And so you can go through so many ordeals in life, but what you have to realize as a believer is that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Now let's transcend the conversation, because we don't want to stay here talking about our troubles and our problems. We love a sad song. Oh, God. It's not about what I have gone through, but what it is really about is where I'm headed to. Let's transcend the conversation. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going somewhere. Yes, I am. And I'm not talking about in the lofty stratosphere of the philosophical things of life that I'm going somewhere. No, no, I'm talking about with gravity, my feet on the ground. I'm actually going to get accomplished what God wants me to get accomplished, my assignment, my purpose, the vision that he gave me, the dream that he put in my heart. It is the reason why I am here. It is the reason why I made it through the fire. It is the reason why I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I fear no evil. It is the reason that I am now seated with the presence of my enemies, but I'm sitting down grubbing because I got the peace of God in my mind. I'm talking to somebody here. It is the very reason while I'm still here. So when you transcend the conversation, you begin to realize that as in the text, as Jesus finally finds his fourth disciple, yeah, you begin to see this narrative begin to shift and begin to change. We know that he comes upon Peter because he's walking down the shore of the Galilee. We understand that. We get that. He picks Peter's boat. There were two boats there. We understand he jumps in Peter's. We realize that Peter was a fisherman by trade. We don't have to go there. We understand he's starting to pick his crew. And then Peter gets Andrew and James. We get that. Andrew and James. We get that. And so now we have, these are his partners in his business. And now all of a sudden, they become his disciples. They abandon all and they follow him. And now all of a sudden, we find ourselves in Luke's narrative of the gospel. Luke is not a disciple, nor is Mark. Mm-hmm. And so we find Luke, who is a physician, who actually traveled with Paul. And now Luke's display is that Jesus had to walk through some things. Of course, obviously, we find that same narrative of Jesus calling the fishermen in Luke 5. And then all of a sudden, he cleanses a leper, and then he heals a paralytic. He casts out a devil, a demon out of a man. And now he stumbled across Matthew, the tax collector. And what you have to understand about this is that in that time, during that day, tax collectors obviously were despised. They were called traitors and they were called extortioners. They were a class of people who were excommunicated from the Jewish community. If you were Jewish and you became a tax collector, you were ostracized. You were put to the side. Nobody wanted to deal with you because you were a sellout. Nobody wanted to talk to you because now you took a job working for the Roman Empire, who was the persecutors of Jews. And so therefore, nobody wanted to deal with you. And this was Matthew's plight. Matthew in the Bible is also called Levi. And so the person in the text is the one that we've discovered is now Matthew. But he is not known as Levi today. He's known as Matthew. Why? Because God changed the story. And so you have to understand now that the Bible says that after he comes across, if you will, Levi, sitting at the tax office, he said to him, "Follow me." And so the Bible says he dropped what he was doing, left all, and followed the Lord. The Bible doesn't give us any of a description of the conversation, just simply the command of follow me. Obviously, Levi saw the benefit of letting go his trade to follow the Lord. Here's where it becomes interesting, because the Bible says he left all, rose up, and followed him. And then the Bible says Levi threw a party at his house. Let's talk about it. The Bible says Levi threw a party at his house. Unlike most of the other characters that you will find in the scripture, that when God comes upon them to call them to do something, they usually have an excuse that is weighted down by something they cannot do. In other words, they tell God, "I can't do this because I have this disability, or I'm not this." And so they express their inadequacy to God, and then God usually says, "Ignore that," and tell them what they're going to do anyway. Case in point, Moses, "I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." But Moses says to the Lord, I can't talk. I have a speech impediment, and I can articulate well, and I'm not going to be able to stand up before the king." What are you talking about, Moses? You were raised in Pharaoh's house. You know all of the culture of that group. You know how to get in. You know how to get out. You know everything that you need to do to approach the king. What do you mean that you cannot talk? Also, Moses, you have to understand that you were a prince of Egypt, meaning you're going to be well received. And the Lord says, no worry, I'm not going to argue with you, Moses. I'm going to send Aaron with you. But the funny thing about that narrative is that Aaron never said anything to Pharaoh. Even though Moses said, I can't talk, God said, no problem. I'll give you a crutch if you want a crutch. But you're going to do what I called you to do in the first place. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't need the crutch. You don't need the crutch. You don't need the crutch. We can go on and on. It was Isaiah the prophet who was in the Bible. And the Bible says, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in his train filling the temple. And it was Isaiah who said to God, listen, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the Lord says, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about your sinful state. Here it is. He took the coal off the altar, the Bible says, touched his lips, cleansed them from all unrighteousness, and then said, who shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. We can continue to go all throughout Scripture. We can find ourselves in the book of Judges, where Gideon was called upon the Lord to do something great. And Gideon said, I am from Manasseh. You don't understand. I am from the least of the least. In other words, I'm not even part of the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, I'm half of a tribe. My father and my uncle make up one tribe because we were Joseph's kids, and therefore we don't even get the whole lot. And so I'm from the least of the least, the bottom of the barrel, and yet you want to call me a mighty man of valor. And God says to him, yes, I do. Gideon said, well, I don't believe it. You're going to have to show me something. You're going to have to show me a couple of signs so that I can identify with what you're talking about, because God often shows up in our lives in a position where we don't see what he sees. And therefore, my God, we reduce our value because we don't realize our potential. Look at your neighbor and say, you're potent, you're potent, you're potent. There's more on the inside of you than you realize. I know I'm beating through a wall right now, but I got to do it. Because at some point, sometimes it is difficult to see what others see. Most importantly, what God sees on the inside of us. This leads me to my first point. Look at your neighbor and say, he was crazy enough to pick me. Come on here. Yes, he was. My God, you got to understand that there was not one person that God decided to use without knowing every bit of dirt there was to know on the individual. He knew it before they did it. He knew it before they were going to do it. And yet and still, he chose to use them. Look at your name and say, I can't believe he picked me. Ah, God, I ain't got no church. Don't you sit there and act like you are worthy and valuable enough for God to pick you. You know you don't deserve a seat at the table, but the grace of God got you there. Anyway, can I talk to somebody in here? Look at your neighbor and say, he was crazy enough to pick me. I'm getting to where I need to go. The Bible says that Levi threw the Lord a party. And he had this party at his house. And so here goes. There was a great number of tax collectors there who also sat down with them. And it's amazing because if you remember the narrative, Jesus is just picking parts of his team, and he picks the three, Peter, James, and John, right? He gets Andrew. He gets Thomas. He's going to get all these guys. But here comes Levi. He's a tax collector. This is not a good profession in his day. And so he throws a party at his house with other tax collectors. The disciples are with him. It is amazing in the narrative that these men just left not that long ago their businesses, and the religious elite, the Pharisees, are at the house. And the Bible says that the disciples were there also because they asked the disciples, complaining to them, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? This is going to preach very well right now. And so what you have to understand then is that at the party that Levi throws, you have the Pharisees, the religious elite, you have tax collectors, you have the disciples. And so you have this eclectic group of individuals that are at this party that Levi threw for the Lord. The most important component there is that the Lord is present right in the middle of the whole group. He's not there being turned up. He's there. I can't get help out of nobody. He's not. Okay, that went over real big. Because your first excuse, would to be, well, the Lord hung out with publicans and sinners. But he did that for a purpose. He was there because he was resolute in who he was. God, I'm preaching, man. I'm going to leave that one alone. And so now we understand that the components of the party is the Lord, Levi, publicans, sinners, and religious people. And the Bible says the religious people started complaining as to why the Lord is hanging out with publicans and sinners. You don't even hear the irony. Why are you there to even know he's there? You don't hear what I'm saying. In other words, the religious elite was there too. If you had such a problem with hanging around these people, then why are you there? The reason that they're there is because they have made it their absolute quest to hate on Jesus. So wherever he went, they went. But when he showed up places, oh, have mercy, they weren't ready for, I can't get help. They started having problems. Oh, my. Oh, Lord. They don't wear black and white. They don't wear, okay, I can't get help. Oh, they got earrings. Oh, they got, oh, they tatted up. Oh, dear. Oh, they smoking over there. Oh, my God. They drinking. Oh, Jesus. Oh. It's amazing that when we get saved, we forget so quickly. I'm getting somewhere. We forget, number one, he picked me. And he was crazy enough to do it when I was crazy, while I was still a sinner. Not only did he pick me, he promotes me. Slap your name and say, he's my promoter. Yes, he is. Come on. God is my PR agent. I wish I had help from it. How do you mean he promotes me? The Bible says there was a meeting in heaven. And at that meeting, the sons of God presented themselves. Y'all ain't ready for me. And in that meeting, the sons of God presented themselves. Among the sons of God, the Bible says, was the devil. He was at the meeting because God is never shook when darkness shows up. As a matter of fact, he often invites darkness to dinner. I wish I had somebody, because he's the light and darkness can't comprehend light. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. And so the devil shows up and he says to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? I ain't got time to preach to y'all. Have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, well, look, you got this protection around him. If you remove the protection, he'll curse you to your name. And the Lord says, you can touch him however you want. You just can't kill him, because I won't give you power to ruin his future, because his future is brighter than your demise. And so however you touch him, he's going to come out gold. And so if you take something, you're going to have to restore something. Who am I preaching to in here? I feel like I'm fighting through a wall. But you got to understand, God is your promoter. He set up the fight. He picked the fight for you. He had so much confidence in who you were. He picked your contender and said, try to take the belt. Slap your neighbor and say, Don King ain't got nothing on Jesus. I'm just messing with y'all. I'm almost finished. Watch this. It's my first almost finished, so leave me alone. Watch this. And so the Pharisees are at the party too, but they're uncomfortable because Jesus is with a crowd he should not be with in their eyes. And in the middle of it all is this guy, Levi, who we know as Matthew in the scripture. And they complain to the disciples. But the disciples doesn't answer. Jesus answers for himself. And Jesus says that the whole needs not a physician. In other words, he tells the religious elite, I ain't here for you. I'm here for them. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You have to understand this without reservation, that God is here for you. The reason he showed up to the party is so that you can become whole. The reason he showed up to your house is so that you can be set free. The reason he showed up in your life, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting, is so that you can realize that he came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, he picked me, come on here, and now he promotes me. Because God promotes you, he wants to place you. And he wants to place you in a position that nobody can get you out of, not even yourself. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you can't mess this up if you want to. Let me explain what I'm talking about. What you have to understand is that sometimes in life, oh, glory to God, you are lost for a reason and for a season. I'm preaching about this. In other words, you weren't really lost, so to speak. You were misplaced. Something that is lost has a very difficult time being found. But when you are misplaced, there is a remembrance of where something was. There is a visual within your mental cortex to be able to realize, I was standing over here when I put my keys there. I know they gotta be in this room somewhere. I was sitting down over here when I left my cell phone there, and you said this. When God looks at your life, he doesn't look at you as something lost that cannot be recovered. He looks at you as misplaced. I had them positioned here, but somehow they got over there. So I have to consult with my spirit who leads them and guides them in all truth. I wish I had somebody to preach to that says they can never be lost. Slap your name and say, I was misplaced. But I'm about to be put back where I'm supposed to be. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. I was placed out of position, but I'm about to be put back where I'm supposed to be. Some trauma happened to me when I was a child, but I'm about to be put back where I'm supposed to be. Stay with me. Here we go. You were misplaced. Sin misplaces you in life. The word sin is the Greek word harmatia, and it means to miss the mark, to miss the scope of intention. And so what we boil sin down to is an act. Sin is not an act. It is a disposition. It's not the act. It's the frame of mind that produces the act. And so when sin entered into the world, what happened was our minds were misplaced. And so we lost the capacity to think like our Creator. We still think, but we do it from a fallen, broken state. And therefore, when we think, it is often skewed. It is often distorted. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. This is why your ultimate battle is not with the devil, but with your mind. God, I'm preaching. The devil is already defeated, but this thing right here will take you out. And when you don't understand that, you don't realize what you have to do to keep this straight. Oh God. The Bible says the only thing that can separate your soul from your spirit is the word. Why is that necessary? Because the spirit is the real us. It is the God-breathed part. You are a spirit, you live in a body, you possess a soul. The soul part is that fallen part. I got the part that decided on its own, because God so values freedom, he gave you the right to choose against him and therefore won't hold it against you. But he also makes a way back to him. But you got to choose that with this. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And because you start using this, you start thinking you are smarter than he is. The devil is a liar. On your best day, you can't outthink God, baby. On your brightest day, you are stupid compared to the Father. I'm preaching better than y'all shout. He is Alpha Omega. He is so off the chain, you don't know when he started or don't know where he finished. My God, he's the bright and morning star. Where were you when he flung the universe into orbit? Where were you when he carpeted the meadow in green to break the monotony? Where were you? Before your mom and daddy ever had a gleam in their eye, before they ever went to the movies, y'all ain't said nothing. He formed this world with one word, let. In other words, if I don't say so, it ain't happening. So I have to let there be light. He's a bad individual. Can I finish preaching to you? Almost there. So the mind then is the ultimate misplacement, because the misplacing of the right mind displaces my potential, separates me from what God called me to do, purposed me to do, from what I am doing. And so I live my life at a reduced level because I believed what I went through more than who God said I'm supposed to be. So I exchanged the truth of my position in God for the lie of my circumstances of life. I gave my life over to a trauma. I gave my life over to a lie. I gave my life over to a heartache. I gave my life over because somebody did me dirty. And now I'm living at a reduced level. I have allowed the enemy to play the ultimate playbook by allowing my biography to become my biology. In other words, I'm living a story based upon what I feel like in my body, rather than who God said I'm supposed to be. I am preaching way better than y'all are shouting. Slap your neighbor and say, my story won't be my biology. No, it won't. I won't let what happened to me enter into my mind, my heart, give me disease, give me sickness, make me oppressed, make me depressed, have me on volume. The devil is a... I am fighting through this thing. I'm going to get through it. That's what happened to Judas. That's what happened to Judas. He let his biography become his biology. He let his story be lived out through how he felt. And because he felt a certain kind of way, oh God, he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, which is like $20-something today. The Bible says, my God, you have to realize then that if you are misplaced, lost, if you will, it is for a reason and only for a season. John 17:12 declares that while I was with them, this is the Lord praying, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those you gave me. In other words, the Lord was saying, Father, I kept every disciple safe that you told me to keep safe. The only one that didn't make it was the one that forgot who he was. The only one that didn't make it was the one that succumbed to his own personal feelings about how he felt about the situation. The only one that didn't survive was the one that forgot that he was from praise and his name meant praise. The only one that didn't make it was the only one that I gave an opportunity to stay in the room and he chose to leave. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm not going to be misplaced. I'm staying in the room because the presence of God is the most important thing in my life at this moment. Because if I don't stay in the presence of God or have the capacity to do so, I'm going to lose my absolute mind. The stuff I'm dealing with, I've got to have a space for the Lord to show up in my life, because if he don't show up, I am not going to make it. For the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Slap your neighbor high five and say, if he don't show up, I don't think I'm going to make it. And so God says, listen here, if you will allow me to remain in your life, meaning if you press your way out sometimes when you don't feel like it, can we have an honest conversation this morning? I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock and I did not feel like coming to preach to you, but I pressed past my feelings and said, if I can just make it to the house of God, I know everything's going to be all right. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I made it this morning. That means everything's going to be all right. The stuff I'm dealing with at home, gonna be all right. The stuff I'm dealing with on the job, gonna be all right. The hell my kids are putting me through, I ain't got nobody to preach to in here. I'm almost there. This is my, I think it's my third almost there. It's my third one. Okay, I might got one more in the tank. Hold on. I will not allow my life's history to dictate how my story turns out. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. So have to realize then, if God is insistent upon making sure I make it, there must be a reason. Can I preach it to you? If he is bent on allowing me to go through the things I've had to endure, some good, not all bad, but whatever it is, I went through it. Then there has to be something on his mind for an event that is yet to present itself to me. I was lost. He found me. Shined me up a little bit. Y'all try to act like y'all wasn't shined up. Put one of them Throwback Thursday pictures up on Facebook and you're going to find out how shined up you were. Like, oh, ooh, ah. You know you shined up now. You don't want to show that Jerry Curl picture, do you? You don't want to show it. You don't want to show it. You don't want to show that picture with you at the club behind the velvet backdrop with the car coming out and they gave you Polaroids. It wasn't no cell phones. You had to put the date on the bottom. Man. Why y'all trying to play me? Act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. If God is bent on something greater, be a reason I'm still here. If the enemy fights me this hard, in my mind, fighting me this hard, there must be something powerful. If that's the case, watch this, watch this. Levi said, I'm gonna throw a party. And I'm gonna invite Jesus to my house. Because he didn't just happen to walk past my table and say, follow me. He must have had his eye on me. I'm God, I'm preaching about it. For a very long time. Oh God, look at your neighbor and say, what you do next? Come on, say it. What you do next, you were born to do. I'm preaching to somebody in here. God has had his eye on you for a very long time. And what is about to approach your life, you were born to do. And the devil has been trying to stop you from doing it. You've been battling in your mind trying to stop you from doing it. But I came to tell somebody today, God has been promoting you to get to this point. You gonna sit on it? Sit on it. If you don't get it, don't get it. But if you get it, say, I'm about to throw a party. And I'm about to throw a 60-second praise party. Hold on, don't do it yet, because he didn't just show up at my table for nothing. Not only am I going to throw a party, but I'm inviting everybody who said I couldn't do it. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. Not so I can get back at them so they can see what the Lord has done. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm inviting everybody. They said I couldn't do it. They said I wasn't going to be it. But baby, I'm going to have a party and I'm inviting everybody who said I could not do it. Because this party, oh God, I feel it here. This party is when my story changes. This party, I feel like preaching to someone, is where you remember me no more for what I used to be. But baby, God changed my life so much, you're gonna have to call me a different name. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting in here. Oh God, when they see me this time next year, what happened? Look at your name and say, nobody but God, baby. No, can I preach to somebody in here? Oh God, at this party, I got to realize the presence of the Lord is there to make me whole. Slap your neighbor high five and say, get ready to be made whole. Come on, come on. Listen, give me 60 seconds. Give me 60 seconds, I'll change your life. Give me 60 seconds, I'll change your life. All right, my 60 seconds don't start yet. There's a prelude to my 60 seconds. Because I got to give you this. I'm not here to hype you. I'm really not. I'm telling you, as I am a man of God, what you do next, you were born to do. Listen, 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 listen. And the ultimate defense against you, listen, the ultimate defense against you, it's not the devil. It's you. It's you living out in your body the pain of your past. They say time heals all wounds. I beg to differ. Time doesn't heal, it conceals. And so when opportunity comes, you revert and you go back and say, I can't do it. I'm not adequate. When you've gone through all this stuff and you're still here in your right mind. So look at your neighbor and say, today is the day I beat me. So the new me is gonna throw a party for the old me and wave bye-bye to the old me. Bye, Levi. Hello, Matthew. Levi ain't write no book. Matthew did. I wish I had somebody to talk to. I want you to take 60 seconds and throw yourself a party to say bye-bye to your old self and hello to your new self. My 60 seconds starts right now. You better wait. See you later. Bye, depressed me. Bye, angry me. You better throw yourself a party. See you later. Bye. Bye. You got 30 seconds. Better get it for yourself, babe. Come on, 15 seconds. See you later. Bye-bye. The only thing that can stop you is you. The only thing, oh God, that can stop you is you. It's the only thing. And the spiritual forces that work against you know that. They study human nature. So this morning, you had an opportunity just 60 seconds ago to let go of you and let God create and fashion the person He created you to be. I want you to take 10 seconds and introduce your new self to somebody else. Come on, 10 seconds. This is the new me. The new me doesn't get depressed. The new me is not oppressed. The new me praises the Lord. The new me gives Him glory. The new me shouts for joy. The new me. Oh, glory.